That is so good. I love watching Pastor Steve. Like when we get someone like Erica up here, he is, and not that all of our singers aren't fantastic, they are, but he is like in his element. So you ought to come and watch Pastor Steve again and just watch him. He's like, this is so good. You know, I'm feeling so good about this. And so anyway, thank you, Erica. Thank you, praise team and praise band. And thank you for being here today. You guys look really good. It's funny because I thought we talk about these things, just so you know, we talk about you when you're not here. And so we were talking about how many people would be here in lieu of the school schedule, right? So you got people that are coming home from a week off, and you got people that are leaving for a week off. And, you know, so again, for those of you that are not looking around, you don't have to look around, but there aren't as many people here as we normally would have. And yet, you know, in our conversation about that, we said, you know what, but the people that God knows will be here and wants to be here, they will be here. And they'll be here because they want to hear from the Lord, and they want to learn, and they want to worship. And so good for you for doing that, because God's now going to grant you an opportunity not only to learn something from his word, but I really do believe this, because of the encounter that you're about to have with him, you'll be changed. I've been changed in the time that I've had to study what I believe the Lord wants us to hear today. So let me take you back to a couple weeks ago. We began our series that we're calling 316, which is based upon the verses in the New Testament that are found in chapter 3, verse 16, that all seem to follow a pattern of spiritual growth and transformation for believers, right? So we had to build that foundation on what we learned from John 3:16 in order for us to be a believer. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life, or eternal life. And so when we see that, we go, okay, this is the beginning of this journey of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And some people view that as like the start and the finish. It's like, all right, I've got it. So, you know, see you when we get to heaven. I'm going to get on with doing what I was doing before I placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And let me just be very, very clear about this. That never happens that way. So did you hear that? You never go back to being who you used to be after you believe in Jesus Christ. It can never happen that way. You will never, ever be the same again, ever. And you're going to have challenging times where you kind of fall back into old patterns, and there are times where you're going to be tempted by the same things that you used to be tempted by. And listen, there are going to be struggles and hardships that bombard you, not just as they did before, but because you're a believer and follower of Jesus Christ. Did you hear me say that? It's not just because live in a fallen world. It's because God uses hardship and challenge to cultivate our faith to grow and to trust in him all the more. He actually takes really difficult things and allows us to understand and know him better through those things, despite what other people may be telling you about those things. So when you consider all that, week number two, we talked about what happens when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And we see Paul pray a prayer in Ephesians 3:16, where the prayer is, listen, I know of his riches and glory. Right? He owns it all. He has the power to do everything. So this is my prayer for you. He says that he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. So what he's saying is he's got all the resources he needs in his universe and in his power and might to strengthen you, to fill you on the inside with all the power that he grants us to have and know in him to overcome all the hardships and the trials and the challenges that we face and still exude his honor and glory in our lives, so that when people see you, they see Christ. So I love that. There was a part of me that goes, let's just keep talking about that, right? But there's a third element or second element following belief that I want to share with you this morning that is equally important to his power, and that is his peace. You see, within the life of every believer comes the peace of Christ that empowers us to overcome as well. all the hardships and challenges that we face. It's kind of this calming, confident attitude that we have is no matter what I face, God's in control and I'm going to be okay. And because of that, it really announces a willingness to endure hardship and challenge. Now, if you look at the definition in the dictionary for peace, you will find out that it says that peace is the removal of a disturbance, a quiet and a tranquil environment. So by worldly standards and by the definition that we see in the dictionary, in order for you to have peace, all of conflict has to be removed. Right? You can't really experience peace from a worldly perspective without the conflict being taken away. But that's not the case in the biblical sense. In the biblical sense, peace prevails in a believer's life and heart despite the conflict and the hardship that you may be facing. And it's very clear in many, many passages in the Bible. I almost used this one as our 3:16 moment for peace, but I didn't. I chose the one that we're going to go to in a moment. But if you notice in 2 Thessalonians 3:16, Paul says this. He says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with all of you." So he points out two very, very important things, that in order for you to know the Lord's peace, you have to know the peace of the Lord. If you want to know his peace, if you want to know the Lord's peace, not the world's peace, but the Lord's peace, you must know the Lord of peace. And in order for you to know him, you must allow him to do the work that he wants to do in your life and in your heart in order that you may come to know him better. And in order for that to happen, Paul prays this prayer there. He says in 2 Thessalonians that I want that peace to prevail at all times and in every way. So this picture is there's this expansive peace that God grants believers that we can grow in not only believing in, but knowing as we grow in our understanding of how great our God really is. So I want you to think along those lines that this morning, I think as believers, those of you who are today, and as followers of Jesus Christ, those of you who are, that you walked in with an element of peace today that you know is real, and you know that it is of God. But maybe there's more. Like maybe there's even more peace that God wants you to hear about, believe, and trust in, and walk out here exhibiting to others today. Because that's the real purpose of peace. If I put it succinctly, and this isn't so succinct, but this is about as succinct as I could get it, and then in your outline, you're going to see it a little bit longer. The Lord's peace overcomes our panic. And the way the outline reads is the Lord's peace overcomes conflict and fear. But the conflict and fear that exists in us results in the observation of our panic. Have you ever seen someone who is just totally panicked about a situation, right? They're not only uncomfortable, they're panicking, you know, they're anxious, they're worried, and it's on display for others to see. Well, that's what the Lord's peace will prevail over, right? You don't see that in a believer's life who places their full trust and confidence in Jesus Christ, the ruler and reigner of their hearts, because his peace will prevail in that person's life. And there are two types of conflict that we may face. There is internal conflict, and some of the ways that internal conflict can attack us would be kind of like a hopelessness, or maybe loneliness, or weariness, worry, often sometimes even kind of a depression, right? That's an internal conflict that many who are listening to me today, myself included, we face potentially on an ongoing basis, right? That's internal conflict. Then there's external conflict that exists. And a lot of times that is strife between individuals. So you've got external conflict with friends. You've got external conflict with family members, neighbors that we live around. Maybe that external conflict is within our community. Even nations experience external conflict, right? So you got this internal conflict happening. You've got this external conflict happening. And this is why Paul is saying those things don't have to be overriding factors in a believer's life. You don't have to succumb to those kind of pressures and that kind of conflict because I've conquered those things. I'm bigger than those things. I have control over all those things. So you do not have to worry. The best remedy for whatever conflict you're facing this morning is Jesus Christ. And it's His peace that can prevail in your life so that the conflict doesn't become the obvious challenge to those who are around you and even to those of us who are struggling with what's going on with the inside of that. And the interesting piece of this puzzle that, I don't know, maybe you walked in knowing this already, but I found this to be incredibly peace-giving, is that it sort of makes sense that we would have to face conflict in order to see the power of his peace prevail in our lives, right? Without any conflict, there's no need for peace. So somehow, some way, God uses the conflict that we're going through to allow us to observe, recognize, and really have faith and trust in the peace that He grants us in the middle of that conflict, right? I mean, Jesus says these words in John 16:33 after He tells His disciples that some really tough times lie ahead. He explains later that I've told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. And He reiterates it once again. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world, right? So the idea is this. It's like regardless of what you're facing, regardless of the hardship and the challenge, you may not want to have that play a part or a role in your life anymore. And maybe the Lord doesn't want that, and I sure don't want to leave that possibility out. God may want to move that mountain in your life, and He may want you to command that mountain to be moved. I'm not always sure which He wants to do, but should He not want to move that mountain, He still will allow you to go through that mountain or go around that mountain or go over that mountain because of the peace that He gives you and the confidence that He gives you in who He truly is in your life. He's bigger than that mountain. That's the idea that I want you to take away. So basically, if we were to line it up in a way that the Bible says we should, the perspective that we need to see it in is that the peace of Jesus is far greater than any problem that you're facing. No matter what that is, right? You fill in the blank or the blanks, multiple problems that you're facing. The peace of Jesus is bigger than that. And so it does not have to overwhelm you and impact you in a negative way. So if you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. And I want to show you a teaching that Paul provides for a church, a group of believers, and where he says that we are to know His peace and to draw upon His peace as believers. So you follow along with me in verses 15 through 17 of Colossians chapter 3 as I read them to you aloud. Paul is speaking here and he says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Boy, I love that passage. Because it really speaks to our lives in a very, very direct way. You know, we have this in common this morning. All of us are dealing with something in our lives that we don't like. All of us. I don't know what your thing is or things are. I know mine. You know, and there are certain things that I would really love to see change. Somehow, some way, I'm growing in my understanding that maybe God hasn't taken them away so that I can learn something from them that I would never have learned had He done that. And I don't know if that's true for you. And I wouldn't wish some of the things that I do know about some of you on anybody. But I do know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who reigns over them all. And I trust him. I really do. I trust him with your life, and I trust him with your past and with your present and with your future. And because I trust him, I just ask for his will to be done in your lives, just as I pray that it is done in my lives as well. So in that particular passage, notice how Paul opens. He says that you have to let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Isn't that interesting that he says, let it? God doesn't come in and say, watch this. Bam, there's your peace. What do you think of that? Don't you feel a whole lot better? He says, no, I'm there. I'm within you. I am living, ruling, and reigning in your life. Whether you know it or not, things are going to work out for the good of those who love me and who are called according to my purposes. You may not see that right now. I'm there. So here's the question that I think Paul brings up with that very first statement is, will you let his peace rule and reign in your heart and your life? He is not going to force you to do that. He's asking you, do you want peace or do you not want peace? I've got it. It's here. It's present with me. So do you want it? Because if you want it, take it. Let it rule and reign in your life. And when you do that, God answers. God responds. You must simply seek the Lord for strength. Seek him for courage. Seek him for guidance. Allow him to move you in the way that he would have you to go in the middle of the troubles that you're facing. Allow his strength and his wisdom to be found through the peace that he grants everyone who believes in him and trusts in him. And if you are a believer, then you have access to that peace and you can rely upon it. But Paul tells us very clearly that believers are not only commanded, and I use that word very intentionally, believers are not only commanded, you're called to rely on peace, but you're also called to reveal the Lord's peace to others. You see the benefit of this? Right? It's not just for you. God works in this way. These are mysterious ways. He not only does what he does for your benefit, but he does it for the benefit of others as well. So as you allow his peace to prevail in your life and in your heart through your actions, through your words, other people benefit by seeing the Lord in action in your life as well. That peace becomes so obviously different from other people's lives and the challenges that they're facing as well, right? They don't handle it the same way. You see, the peace that the Lord grants us is really only for believers, but it's not to benefit only believers, right? It is really for the benefit of others as well. Jesus says in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. The Lord's peace. I do not give it to you as the world gives. It's not going to be like where you can get peace from any other source that exists in the world but me. So do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Again, that's a command. He doesn't say, what do you think? Do you want to let my peace prevail or do you not want to? Well, let me just help you with this decision. Do not let your hearts be troubled, right? Do not worry about stuff. Why? Because what are you saying about me when you do? That you don't trust me? That I'm not good? That I'm not going to take care of this situation? Do not do that, right? Trust me, love me, have faith in me, obey me. And I would imagine, listen, it's not unusual when we have a group this size that there are so many different backgrounds here. And some of you totally get this. But others, well, let's just say all of us get it, right? You get this peace thing. But for the benefit of someone who doesn't, right? Someone else, you're not asking for yourself. You're asking for someone else, right, today. So how do I get this peace? If what you're saying is true and it's available for all believers, yeah, I get that. I'm experiencing it. But, you know, just so that I can tell someone else, how does one get peace when they're not experiencing it in their life? I'm glad you asked, for the benefit of someone else, of course. The reason or the way that you get that peace, Paul tells us in verse 16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. right? The message of Christ, in some of the translations that you may be reading today, it may say the word of Christ. You have one of those? Does yours say word? The message of Christ and the word of Christ is scripture. It's the teaching that Jesus offers us in his word. When you allow his word and you allow it to be studied and you become saturated in the word of God, you become overwhelmingly at peace and confident in what the Lord promises that he will do in the life of a believer, right? One of our problems is we don't fully recognize everything that God promises he will do in the life of a believer. And maybe you are aware of it, but you've experienced some setbacks in your life and you doubt that. You know, I did this when I used to pray that my life would be like the life of Paul, until I saw everything God took Paul through, right? The shipwrecks and the beatings and the imprisonment. And I'm like, well, I'm not so sure I want it to look exactly like that. You know, I'll take the teaching part and the wisdom part, you know, and the notoriety. Listen, if I could pen the books of the Bible that Paul penned, that'd be exciting to me, but I don't want the hardship. You know, all of those things are necessary to be who you are in Christ and who others will see. All those things, all those elements are important. Just as it was in Paul's life, so too is it important in your life too. For him to be able to guide you through those hardships and those challenges with his peace prevailing in your life, so that you can experience the fullness of Christ that he offers us. So we study his word and learn of his promises, become saturated in his word, and then we apply it, right? He goes on to say in verse 16, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing are two completely different things. So sometimes we put them together. But teaching, the important factor to teaching is to teach, to offer accurate explanations for what sound doctrine truly says and means. So we really, really have to be students of God's word in order to teach what the word of God says and suggests. Admonishing comes in the application of the teaching, the accurate sound doctrine. So when you and I see someone who's struggling with an area that the Bible says they don't have to struggle in, for example, today, when someone's struggling with peace, we would then go to them and say, do you know what the Word of God says about that? That you don't have to be worried, that you don't have to be overwhelmed with grief, that you don't have to be anxious anymore, because God's peace is available to those who believe in him. And it has to come from a loving juxtaposition. It's got to be the desire that I have is for your betterment, not condemnation. You know, we don't admonish people to punish them. We admonish them because we love them. And so it's like, do you know that the Word of God says that this is the way things can be for believers? Kind of exactly as I'm suggesting to you today. Some of you will accept this teaching and apply it to your life. Some of you may reject it and just say, I don't buy into it. And my prayer is that the Lord's will for your life will prevail. But I know peace is available because I've experienced it in my life as well. So it can be used to teach. It can be used to urge. It can be used to warn. And it can be used to reprimand according to Scripture as well. And in a very important element that we really all need to allow others to observe in our life so that this peace can impact their lives as well, is to offer publicly our ongoing praise and worship of our Lord, right? People will see your peace when in the middle of your problems, they see you praising as well. That's a great demonstration of God's peace. That's why he says in verse 16, that we use psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, those spiritual songs, the songs that the Holy Spirit leads us to sing to him, singing to God with gratitude in our hearts. So despite the adversity and the challenge that you're facing this morning, right? So let's just make it certain that this morning, I know and God knows that you're facing adversity. And you've got some challenge in your life. Again, we have that in common with one another. We offer him our praise and our worship. We sing to him praises despite the fact that we're going through hardship. And again, unbelievers will see that and go, okay, I don't get this. So the God who controls everything in heaven and everything, all authority on earth, all authority has been given to Jesus Christ. And he's allowing you to go through this and you're still praising him and you're still worshiping him. When I know something about you that you've shared and you're struggling with and you're still praising him, absolutely. Because I've got full confidence in him, not because I've only chosen to do that, but because of the peace, the prevailing peace that he grants me with his presence that I do rely upon. So we do not worry because we know the one who can calm the situation that we're facing at any time. And don't forget this. He loves you so much. Oh, how he loves you. I mean, there is no one that loves you the way that God loves you. And he loves you so much that his desire is for you to grow to know his love better. And we can know his love better when we trust in him despite what we're going through. Here's what we do. We replace our fear with faith. We replace our grief with gratitude, knowing that he does offer us good gifts. We replace our worry with wanting to grow and know him better every step of the way that he leads us, regardless of whether it's a good situation or a bad situation that we're going through, right? We let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts because we're called to know that peace. And Paul adds at the end of this verse, in verse 15, if you go all the way back, he says, you know, when you let the peace rule and reign in your life, here's what he says. Here's how you do it. And be thankful. Right? He says that at the very end of verse 15. And be thankful. Ask yourself this question. Do you believe the things that you read in the Bible? Like, I get asked this a lot. Is this symbolic or is this real? You know, is this literal or is this figurative? And I'll certainly agree that there are times where some are literal, some are figurative. I don't always know that. I choose to lean towards them being literal and real rather than figurative and symbolic because I don't want to miss out on the promises that come with believing that. So I do believe that there was a big fish that Jonah was within, you know? I do believe that God parted the Red Sea, literally, right? I do believe that he spoke to Moses through a burning bush. I do believe those things. And I choose to believe those things because that's the God that I know and believe in. He's the God that I serve. He can do anything that he wants to do, any way that he wants to, even when it does not make a lot of sense to us who can't think or believe the way that he thinks and believes and leads us to believe as well. So let me ask you this question. Do you believe in the things that you read about in the Bible? And here's one of the evidences that I think we can discover in that. Do you trust God enough to be thankful even before you experience his peace? Like when you're unsure and uncertain and you're still struggling, do you trust him enough to be thankful even before you experience the peace that we can know in Jesus Christ? Because I think this is the secret to the power of peace that can be found in Christ. And it's really mentioned throughout the Bible. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. He says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So did you catch that? Give thanks in all circumstances, good and bad. How weird is that? Everyone gives thanks to God when good things happen, even non-believers. They'll say, "Thank you, Lord." They don't even know him, right? Anyone can do that. When you can say thank you, God, in the middle of a storm, how unusual is that? And people will ask you, "What? Why would you thank him for a bad? What if he keeps doing it? if you keep thanking him, right? And the idea is God doesn't know best if it's not good, but he does. He does know what's best, and he will take you through that storm and that hardship. So when you dig into Scripture a little more deeply, you can find reasons that you should be thankful and to be grateful in every single circumstance. Here's one of the best reasons, because the only thing that God will ever do for you will be good. He only ever does good things for you. It's impossible for a good and loving God to do something bad to you. Impossible. Because he loves you and because you're his, right? So James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He's not going to change his mind about you when you're doing good things or bad things, when you're facing good things or bad things. He only wants you to have good gifts. How he gets you there may differ from person to person and experience to experience, but eventually he's going to get you to a place that is good through hardship and through trial often. David, a man after God's own heart, says in Psalms 136, 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Right? Why do we give thanks? Because he's good. This situation may not be good. I'm still going to give thanks to the Lord, and his love endures forever. So you have two reasons to be thankful. Number one, God's constant goodness. And number two, God's steadfast love. Right? He's always going to love you, and he's always going to be good to you. So when we recognize the nature of our depravity, we grow to understand that there is really only death in and of ourselves. I know that sounds so morbid, but without Christ, you are facing impending death. And the challenges that you are facing that leads down to the eventual conclusion that is death are not good ones. However, God can lead us to the eventual decay of our bodies, that kind of death, but you will always live and you will always be with him as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. And that really changes our perspective in light of the things that we are facing, right? So you look at the promises that he's granted us and you say, I believe in them. Not the hardships that are going to drag me down, but the promises that are going to lift me up. We are called to be grateful for the life that he promises to give to his believers, right? Just trust in him for that. It's going to be good. It's going to be really, really good, despite maybe some of the things that you're facing right now. And let me say this. I know some of the hardships that you're facing. I know them in part because you've told me. I know them in part because the Lord has impressed upon me that you're struggling, right? Sometimes, you know, I see things that you write, or sometimes other people share with me things that you've shared with them. And because of my love for the Lord and because his love fills me, my heart breaks for you when you're struggling. It really does. Because I know it's not easy. However, there's this light that goes off in my mind that goes, I wonder what God's doing in the middle of that. Like, I wonder how God's going to take this situation and really reveal his power and his strength. And so when I see that, I think, what illustration can I give to those who are really struggling today that can't find light, that can't find hope, that have not been able to experience the life in this moment right now that Christ promises? And I thought of David, because in Psalm 30, we can go on this roller coaster ride with David, where in verses 1 through 12, he tells us of what he's been through in the past. And he's like, you know what, God, you were faithful. Then he tells us, I'm still going through a really difficult time. And then at the very end, he goes, you know what, you're going to work it all out at the end. So listen to these 12 verses, and maybe this describes your journey as well. David starts out with, I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. Now, stop right there. He's in a good place. because he's remembering God's faithfulness. And in this moment, he's going, yeah, you really did get me through all those things that I hated going through that were so hard for me. Well, look where he goes to next. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried. When mercy, what is gained if I am silenced? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? So he moves into, hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. Then he remembers again. And he says, you turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Look where he goes to in the future. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. Is that not very much like the journey that you're on right now? God, you're good. God, you're not so good. God, you're getting better. God, you are great. Right? That is so indicative of so many of our lives. Just like David, a man after God's own heart. When things are going well for us, it's easy to sing his praises. When things aren't going so well, it can be easy to sing his praises when you have the peace of Jesus Christ ruling and reigning in your life, knowing that whatever's going to happen, it's all going to be for our good and for his great glory, right? There are examples that we see in the Old Testament, as I just read. There are examples in the New Testament as well. Listen to Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Now stop for a second and think about that. Because that's what you're receiving. You are receiving a kingdom that cannot be taken, cannot be shaken, right? You will inherit this kingdom. And you're living in it right now. You are members of the kingdom of God right now. Don't forget that, right? Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. If you believe that, you ought to be in awe of the fact that God is going to take you through this regardless of what you're going through and offer him your reverence and your praise and worship. The Lord's promise for power and for peace until that day comes that we'll be joined with him is absolute. And that gives us a reason to have great confidence and to offer him our praise. Peter gives us a reason to be thankful, and he describes it this way, for grief of all kinds. It's like whatever falls under this category of grief, you know what that is. Saying these things in 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 7. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Right? The people of God are a thankful people. They are a joyful people because of the peace of God ruling and reigning in their lives, right? Everything that God has promised will come to pass. Everything that he says is sure and true, we will participate with him in, right? And we studied this last week in 2 Timothy 3. He points out that in the last days, there will be wicked people. And those wicked people, if you look back, I think it's verse 2, he talks about them being ungrateful, right? Wicked people are the ungrateful people who don't see the good that will eventually come through the difficult or the challenging. Being grateful for God's goodness and being thankful despite whatever you may be facing right now is something that speaks of God's power in your life. Being grateful despite what you're going through reveals the trust and the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. And expressing thankfulness helps us remember that God really is in control. Thankfulness, therefore, is not only appropriate, thankfulness is healthy. Worry and stress and anxiety, they are unhealthy for anyone, much less a believer. Gratitude and thankfulness, they are healthy. So it really helps us and it is beneficial for us to be grateful to God. And that's why Paul tells us in verse 17, in whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I've come to the conclusion that this is kind of the biggest test for our life. Sometimes we're unsure of what God wants and what we want. And sometimes we break that down into two categories, good and bad. What God wants is good, and what we want is probably bad if it's not what God wants. And so we want what we want to be what God wants, right? And sometimes we want what God wants to be what we want. And that may be the better way of looking at it. Rather than wanting what we want to be what God wants, maybe what we need to move towards is wanting what God wants. And I think it's easier. It's a whole lot less complicated and easier to explain that way. Wanting what God wants is the best way of pursuing what is good over what is not good, even evil. So here's the question that I would ask yourselves. If you're doing something in the name of the Lord for his honor and for his glory, ask yourself that question. Will what I'm about to do, you fill in the blank, will this bring God great honor and glory? Will this honor and glorify his name? In fact, think about it this way. If he were standing right here with me, would he be well pleased with what I'm about to say or with what I'm about to do? Is this something that he's leading me to do and that will be pleasing to him? Because he's not standing next to you. You know that. He's living, ruling, and reigning within you, leading you to do what it is that brings him great honor and glory. Huge difference between the two. He's not standing next to you, watching you, going, hope you make a good choice. He's ruling and reigning in your heart, leading you to do the things that will bring him honor and glory. So here's the great thing about the passage that we just read in Colossians 3, that he actually formulates for us, going backwards, an equation where every person in this room this morning can experience peace. He spells it out so clearly. If you look back in verse 17, he tells us, do everything for God's great glory. And then he adds in verse 16, praise his holy name. And then he adds in verse 15, be grateful for his perfect promises. And the conclusion is, you will experience his peace. Did you get that? Right? Do everything for his glory and honor, right? While you are grateful for all the promises that he's given to you, while you exhibit your thankfulness and his praise, you're going to experience his peace and all of that. So faith leads to obedience, and obedience unlocks the domain of all the treasures and the rewards that we will ever experience in this life and the one that is to come as well. And Paul tells us in Philippians 4:7 that when we turn to God and when we trust in God and when we live for God, then the peace of God will transcend all understanding. The peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And we will be filled with his peace, right? It's a promise offered when a Christian agrees to seek and follow the will of the Lord and trust in him for his honor and glory, especially when you do that with an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness, right? Paul ends this passage by concluding, here's how you should do everything that God will lead us to do. Verse 17, giving thanks to God the Father through him, giving thanks for everything, no matter what it is, no matter what you're going through, give thanks. God, I know you're going to use this for your honor and your glory. I know you're going to get me through this. And you will look vastly different from anybody else. We not only have to believe differently, folks, we have to behave differently, right? God's calling us to this higher calling than the rest of the world. I'm convinced of this. I think that we need to lead lives that demand an explanation, right? People look at us and they just go, I don't get it. How can you be experiencing what you're experiencing and still trust in God? How can you be going through what you're going through and still praise him? How can you feel the way that you said to me that you've been feeling and still say to him, I'm so grateful for what God is doing in my life? I went to hear a young man named Colton Dixon on Friday night. He was at the fair, and I like his music. I've seen him and heard him several times. I'm really quite amazed by his lyrics of the songs that he has written. I've looked at those lyrics, and I find them to be very Christ-centered and Holy Spirit-led. And so I enjoy watching people like that perform. And so on Friday night, he shared this story about meeting his wife. He had just first met her, and he's really amazed at her demeanor. She was confident but calm. You know, she seemed to you know, be very unassuming and meek and humble. And yet, you know, she had a countenance about her that he thought was very, very different. And so he kind of walked away from that meeting thinking, wow, she's unique. She is different than anyone I've ever met. Well, after that meeting, he found out that she had just lost her brother, that her brother had just passed away like a month before they met. And so when he met with her the next time, he said, I do not get this. Like, how can you be the way that you are right now with your brother passing so recently? He said, I've got a sister. Some of you saw her on American Idol with him. And he said, I would be torn up if that happened. She said, well, Colton, I trust in a God who knows better than I do what's best. And I trust in his ways. And I trust in his perfect timing. And I miss my brother. But I trust in the promise that I have that I'll be with him again. And he's in a better place than I am right now. And I can't wait to be reunited with him. And so Colton Dixon shared on Friday night, he said, that's how I knew she's the one that I want to marry. She's different. She has such a peaceful countenance about her that there is no mistaking the Christ that lives within her and rules and reigns in her life. I so want to be known as that person. I so want you to be known as those people as well. That the peace of Christ rules and reigns in our life so obviously that others will want to know how we can live the way that we are living. So some of you, we need to wrap up. Some of you are struggling with this, and some of you are uncertain about the peace that's available. Some of you haven't experienced it, and you may not know why. And I'm going to invite Pastor Steve and members of the praise team to join me on stage as we wrap up. I want to leave you with this one last thought. One of the things that you may be struggling right now, it will be the fact that Jesus is coming back soon. Right? Keep that in the forefront of everything that you do, that Jesus is coming back soon. I was studying in Matthew 25. I think I shared this with the staff, but Jesus is talking about separating goats from sheep. And we know that that's symbolic for believers and non-believers, right? And so the storyline that happens before that is that when Jesus comes from the heavens, he calls upon all the nations. So all the people who have ever existed will all be called together. And I can't fathom that. Picture that. Picture everyone who's ever existed to be called together. I can't picture it. All the nations are called together before him. And then he comes from the sky in all of his glory. The world's never seen him like that before. They saw him as a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. Right now he comes in all of his power, in all of his glory. How magnificent that will be. And the Bible says that he comes with all of his angels. Now, if you look over to Revelation chapter 5, all of his angels are referred to 10,000 times 10,000. That's 100 million angels. Not only will Christ be coming in all of his glory, but there's going to be 100 million angels surrounding him. 100 million angels. Can you picture that? I can't. And that's not going to be the thing, the spectacle that we're going to be focused on, because the glory of the Lord will be so much greater than that. It'll be like, oh, they're angels with Jesus. That's Jesus. And he's going to come, and he's going to say, you go to my left, or you go to my right. And there are going to be some people there, according to the Gospels, that say, wait a minute, I thought I'd be on the other side. And he'd say, no, no. The problem is when you lived, you cared more about yourself than you did others. You let life's worries and concerns rule and reign in your life. You did not. You were not a conduit of my love. For those of you that are on my right, you didn't let life's worries and concerns consume you. You loved them. You loved others more than you loved yourself. You're going to spend the rest of eternity with me. That's what Matthew 25 says. That's the result of faith and trust and confidence in Jesus Christ, that we don't let those things consume us any longer. We let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts and reign in our lives. So I so want you to be on the right with me. I so want that. And maybe this morning some of you have struggled with knowing for certain whether you're going to be on his left or on his right. You're just unsure. I'm not absolutely sure. Some moments I think I'm on his left. Some moments I think I'm on his right. You don't have to leave being unsure today. All you have to do is place your faith and confidence and trust in who he already is. He is God's one and only Son. He is the one who God sent to die on the cross for your sins. Believe in him. Receive his power. Receive his peace. Walk in it and allow God to take care of the rest. Would you stand with me now as we close? You have an opportunity to respond to that, right? The peace of Christ ruling and reigning in your life and heart. Maybe there's something that you need to lay down that's consumed you. Maybe you're going through a hardship or a problem or a trial. Maybe you're really still struggling right now. And if you are, it would be my privilege to pray for you. I've got deacons on my left, on my right. Come to one of us. Let us pray for you. We'd be honored to do that. There's no shame in that. All right. Maybe you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Do not walk out of this building without saying, I do believe. Our God's Son. He did send you to die for my sins. I so want you to be Lord of my life. Come in and take over. We'd love to pray for you about that. In fact, we've got some information we could give you. If you've never been baptized after placing your faith and trust in him, you can do that. Let us know. We'll schedule that. We'll watch you stand before others and say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And heaven will rejoice and other lives will be impacted because of that. You respond as the Holy Spirit leads you to. This altar is open to kneel and bow before him as well. You respond as the Holy Spirit leads you while we sing this last song.